Well, I've got a couple things to say. First of all, it's the news, according to me. Good Friday morning. It is October 17th, 11:16 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I happen to be in the Central Time Zone this morning, which is why the show is kind of getting kind of late here, getting this thing out. I had some stuff to do this morning. Because I'm a busy guy. And you had to get some stuff done. Had to get up, out of the bed. That was a big thing. That was a big major accomplishment, first of all. By the way, it's 2025, in case you're listening to this 5 years from now. I have a... I'm in Champaign, Illinois, Champaign-Urbana area, close to the university here. And I got up this morning, did a little bit of a workout, had some breakfast. I'm going to finish up my workout here in a little bit with a run, walk, jog, fall down, trip, fall down, get up, go to the hospital, probably come back in a couple years with a broken neck. I'll probably be doing that later on, workout. That's my part of my weight loss program. I'll be doing that a little bit later on. In the meantime, I'm going to do this show. And I went to a little diner across the street from the hotel here, which is, I can get breakfast here at the hotel, but it's just not, I don't know. It's just, they do give me a discount here at this hotel, but I don't know. The diner is better. And of course I went over there and it was packed, which tells you something about, what kind of, it's on a Friday morning, no less. I ended up having to sit at the little, where the guys sit, the old men sit, where they just kind of stare off into the space, they have no life. That's where I sat. Sat with those guys. So I became one of them for a moment, just kind of working my way easily into that kind of mentality. Excuse me. And I kind of understand it now. You just kind of sit there and you zone out and go into your nothing box, and you sit there and you just stare at the wall, stare off into space. It was so crowded, there was only one more stool there left at this little food bar thing. All the other seats were full. So in order to sit down, I would have had to wait for 15 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes, or else just sit down. So I went ahead and sat down, which was kind of elbow to elbow. I have to say the chairs were a little bit too close together there, I would say. So I sat down between these two guys, and both of them were pretty much... they seemed a little uncomfortable about me being there. Not sure what was going on with that. I wear a cap. I wear a ball cap. It's a camo hat. And when I'm wearing my sunglasses outside, I wear the camo hat walking down the street. I probably look like I'm ex-military. In fact, I've been asked by people before if I was in the military, and I even talked to some people, beggars. Street beggars, giving me their sob story, saying I was in the military, and I don't know, they go on about this whole story about their, then they had hurt their hip, and now they can't do anything, and now they're stuck, and they're looking for $20, and I usually just say, the more elaborate the story, the less truthful it is. Because they come up with you a month later and they still have the same story. And this is still the same thing, still the same issue. And then there's details within the story that they don't make any sense. That there's usually a time event involved in, it's like, I have to get a bus ticket to go see my son. He's in the hospital. Or my dad, he's in the hospital. Whoever it is. And 2 months later, it's the same story. I don't think your dad's still in the hospital. It's been 2 months since you asked for money for a bus ticket. I don't understand. That's, how does that work? Oh, That wasn't me. I was like, what? This is literally conversations I've had with these people. One lady had this big elaborate story about how she was flying on Delta, and she has this hip problem. She has to have she can't just get around. She's out walking on the street, though. She's out walking on the street. She was flying, she was down to Atlanta. She got stuck in Atlanta because Delta, her flight canceled or something. They put her up in this hotel. Now it's the middle of the day, and this is when prime time, when Delta is flying everywhere in the world out of Atlanta. And why are you here in this hotel? There's next to the hotel. She said, they put me up in this hotel. I was just outside the hotel there. And she had this whole story about how she was injured in the military and hurt her hip, and now she's not walking around just fine. She's out, and she had this whole thing. Went this whole thing, and they're not taking care of her. They're not feeding her. She needs some money. She's hard up for money. And she points at me and says, I'm one of you, whatever, pointing up to my hat. Apparently looks. Now, the one thing it does for me, and I've noticed this, is it does intimidate people a little bit to the point where they don't usually mess with me. And I don't shower. That kind of seems to repel people a little bit too. But the apparently it has something to do with it. I apparently look like I'm. In fact, I've been told I was outside of a graduation recently, and I was wearing my sunglasses, and I was just standing outside, and this. One of my family members, on my wife's side, he walks up to me and goes, you look like you're with security here. I said, well, good. That's less likely to probably be mugged that way. Anyway, so I ended up going to the diner, got some breakfast, and then I went back up the stairs, of course. That's what I do. I'm up on the fourth floor. I had to go up to the stairs. So I'm going to be going out running a little bit later. Anyway, that's my life right there. That's enough of that. That's all you need to hear about that. In my cup, while I was at the diner, the reason I'm telling the story is because at the diner, it all revolves around, this entire show revolves around my cup, by the way. I don't think you don't realize that. I was at the diner and I noticed they have iced chai latte there, which... You're always taking a chance with chai. There's variations of chai that you don't know what kind of flavor you're going to get. And I don't know what the coffee world is like. I don't drink coffee. I know that when you order certain kinds of coffee, different places, I would imagine there's probably some variation in like if you order the same thing, like a mocha, maca, maca, waka, waka, whatever you order. I don't know when you're ordering coffee, these fancy foo-foo drinks. I don't know what you get. Chai has a very wide variety, and it's a wide enough variety from not just the kind of creamer you put in it, but anything else. The thing that makes it very different is the spice, and it can go from not spicy at all to very spicy to I can't hardly drink it because I feel like I'm drinking from a pine cone. This is Oregon chai is very different than a creamy chai latte. And this has a little bit of spice to it, but it's not too bad. It's the closest thing I would say to what I usually make myself as I've had out in public. However, I would say it's not what I've had out. It's not what I like myself personally. Of course, the creamer that they put in, there was not really any creamer in it, actually. It's just a kind of a creamy latte. Not too bad. Now, in my backup cup, I got a peach in my glass, in my cup here. I have a peach sweet tea that I made a couple days ago, and it is very good. It's in my thermos. Keeping it in my thermos here. So that's what I've got in my cup. I want to get on a couple things. I got a couple things that I've recorded, or actually I've not recorded, but I have them on backup here on my iPad next to me. I'm going to be playing those because I want to kind of give you some interview or some idea of what's been going on with the left and how they're just coming apart at the seams. The left is so fragmented right now. They're not together on anything. They have no real leadership. And the only leadership that seems to be emerging is the radical left. It seems to be emerging from some of this. So we'll take a look at this and see what happens here. Now, of course, just to be clear, this is an iced chai. It's not a hot chai. So I have two iced drinks here this morning. But I was thinking about doing this. I got this clip of Nancy Pelosi. She's being questioned about some things on the street. And she snaps at this reporter in a very, very profound way, I would say. She's obviously got some issues. She's very upset about some things right now. Doesn't like where the party's going, I don't think. And it kind of comes through in what she says here. And she's trying to pin it on the Republican Party. However, I think what I need to do here is, rather than playing that, I'm going to go ahead and set this up with now this comes courtesy of I'm not sure I want to recommend that you subscribe to the channel necessarily, but this comes from Memeology 101. He does these little short, usually 2 minute long, anywhere from a minute and a half to 2-3 minutes long, little videos. They're not shorts, they're videos, and they're actually videos. And he does some shorts occasionally, but he's mostly what he does is they're short videos, more than a minute long. And he has clips of things, and he makes his comments, and of course it's sometimes gets a little bit vulgar. But he's really good at kind of just documenting all these little short stuff that happens. And I think it's interesting to see just how this stuff works out in terms of he puts out a lot of material, and he gets a lot of hits because it's just easy to watch. You can click on it anytime, just watch a couple minutes of something, and it's usually pretty interesting. He'll kind of pin things, and he'll go after Trump. When Trump says something stupid, he goes after him too, and it's that's what I like about it. It's kind of a very well balanced, Trump will do something, and he'll say, "No, this is not what I voted for," you know, kind of thing. He was saying something about the 600,000, I think, Chinese students they're going to allow into the country, whatever it was a ridiculous amount of Chinese students they were going to allow into the country, and part of his agreement with this tariff deal or whatever it was. And of course, he ends up kind of freaking out about that. Now, there's I guess just a quick mention here. There's some protests going on in Chicago. In Broadview, Illinois, there is apparently a protest of the ICE facility there. There's been some injuries. Just a lot of things going on. The police department basically in this area has basically said, you know, forget the mayor. We're going to help protect whatever's going on here. We need to get involved. The county police and the state police are getting involved now. But they're kind of pushing back on the politicians telling them they can't help the ICE agents in terms of, you know, just resisting the violence that's happening to them. They're getting all kinds of attacks, thousands of threats a day. It's ridiculous. Tom Homan can't even live in his own home with his family. He has to live somewhere else because of the. But you know, the Democrats are the peaceful ones. The Republicans are they're the problem. They're the violent ones. That's what we keep getting told. Of course, there's people there wrapped in South American flags, whatever it is, all kinds of flags from South America, Palestine, whatever, place else, wrapping themselves in all these flags and making all these comments, doing the protest stuff. And there's not that many of them there, but of course the media makes it look like there's a lot more of them there than they are. And of course they're holding up signs for just about every cause there is. There's a guy here wearing a dress. He's got his mask on, of course, mask and these glasses. You can't tell it's a man behind them. But, you know, I mean, you can tell it's a man, but he's a good guy wearing a dress. And just different things like that. Person wearing a chicken suit. Of course, that's always a thing. The no taco thing, the tacos, whatever, Trump, whatever, that the whole thing is good. But anyway, just different stuff like that. So here, this is Caitlin Collins. Now, I want to point out something different. If you've been on YouTube at all and you've watched any right-leaning or even left-leaning, for that matter, if you watch Caitlin Collins, if you watch CNN, you've probably seen this happen. It's AOC and Bernie Sanders. They're getting interviewed by Caitlin Collins here. The one thing that I don't think many people point out on these shows, the one thing that I will point out because I notice this kind of stuff, is Caitlin Collins. I want you to notice the timbre in Caitlin Collins' voice as she's asking them these questions. Now, there's one point in here where this guy interjects he does some editing and he interjects some things in the middle of it. I want to get the whole conversation. He kind of makes some comments. And that happens more with the Nancy Pelosi one than it does with this one. They pretty much play the whole clip here. I'll play the whole thing. But it's notice that there is much more of a bouncy, I would call it bouncy, jovial speech pattern with Caitlin Collins when she's talking to these two. And when she asks President Trump questions, there is a doom and gloom feel to her voice. It's very, I would say, clouded vocal tone. In other words, she's very, she's kind of, it's just kind of a very has a very different energy to it. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to try to describe it in director terms, but something we would call a clouded thing. But it has much more of a doomy kind of gloomy kind of look to it. Whereas when she's talking to these guys, it's a very bouncy kind of feel. And she asks them this question, and of course they're kind of going back and forth, and they're yucking it up almost about this whole thing. But the way they, you know, when they ask this question, and AOC is frozen with how to respond, and Bernie Sanders has to jump in and rescue her with this whole thing. When you're looking for Bernie Sanders to step in and rescue you, you are in deep, deep water, and you're attaching yourself to an anchor. Now he asked some questions. Larry O'Connor with Larry is a channel. He actually asked the right questions. I've been saying this repeatedly after I've seen this interview. And Larry O'Connor actually brought this up and made a comment about it, but I want to get into it a little bit deeper. So we'll get into that as we analyze this a little bit. But let's listen right now as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders here in this meeting. She gets asked a question about Chuck Schumer, whether or not she's going to be primarying him out of his Senate seat. And this is where the contention is, and this is why Chuck Schumer is trying to placate the radical left, because New York right now is looking like it's going to have Mamdani as a mayor. This is going to be the end of New York City. They're going to be needing a bailout. It's going to collapse the economy. We'll talk about that a little bit. Here we go. This is.
But are you saying that Senator Schumer should not be worried about a primary challenge from you?
This is what we're talking about.
Okay, what are you talking about exactly? So they go on with this. Now Bernie jumps in here.
We had a housing crisis.
Let's go back to this.
Are you saying that Senator Schumer should not be worried about a primary challenge from you?
Our country is falling apart.
We got a housing crisis. Now, this is his stump speech that he does in all of his little oligarchy things. He does the No Kings protests that they do. This is where they go with this. We have a housing crisis. We have a whatever crisis. Now, there are always people. There are always a percentage of the population is always going to be in a crisis with their housing situation, with their education situation, with their medical situation. There's always going to be a percentage of people who have that issue. When they continue to gaslight us and tell us, you're in the middle of a crisis here. This is a crisis. And they find somebody who's in the middle of that crisis out of 300 million people. And they continue to push that in front of your face. We have a housing crisis. We have this crisis. We have that crisis. Then he proceeds to turn around and say something about us being the richest nation in the world. Now, let me go back here just a little bit, and we're going to cover this again.
We have a country that's falling apart. A healthcare crisis, an education crisis, massive income and wealth inequality, a corrupt campaign finances, and the media says, what are you going to run for? Nobody cares.
So he just painted this picture of our country falling apart. We got all these crises that are happening. Really? I wasn't aware of that. We have a GDP that's on the way to being the highest it's ever been in the history of this nation. Now, keep in mind, Kamala Harris thinks that she was the most. She was being interviewed the other day, and she said, "Some people have said that I was the most qualified person for president to ever run for president. Qualified person to ever run for president. Kamala Harris, most qualified to ever run for president. More qualified than Hillary Clinton. More qualified than anybody else that's ever run for president." Now, I would imagine that makes Hillary feel pretty stupid, pretty upset. I'd be concerned about upsetting Hillary. But this is the ridiculous nature of what she's saying. She also kept saying, and she keeps saying it in all of her little stump speeches. She's out campaigning now, by the way. She's trying to sell her book. This is the kind of thing she says, and she keeps repeating the fact that she keeps repeating which is not a fact that she keeps repeating, that this was the closest election in the 21st century. And which is, it is the least close. If you ask anything, if you look at all the statistics, and you even ask AI, you ask Google, and there's videos of people doing this. They're like on lively recording. They're recording live, whatever. They're asking AI. They're asking all kinds of things. They're doing Google searches, all kinds of stuff, trying to find out what the closest election was in the 21st century. It was not. In fact, I think it was 2020 was the closest election. 2016 was very close as well. Year 2000, I don't know if they count that as a 21st century election, but I would count it as that, but it was even closer. All of the elections, 2008 was closer. 2012 was closer, much closer actually. All of them were closer. The least closest election of the 21st century was the 2024 election. And yet she continues to spout that it's and everybody claps like their little trained seals all clap. They all clap and say, oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was close. It was such a close election. And you were the most qualified. And now there are people coming out like, what's her name? Is some lady thinks she's a comedian. The redheaded gal who had a, thought it was funny. I guess what part of her comedy routine was to have a beheaded caricature of Donald Trump. She was held up and it just weird things like that, in his first term, Kathy Gifford, is that her name? Kathy Gifford. What's her name? Kathy somebody, little redheaded thing, all kinds of weird plastic surgery issues. She made the comments about this whole thing the world is falling apart. There's TDS has taken over. And of course, nobody cares about that. Now, Bernie Sanders is saying, nobody cares whether you're going to primary him or not. Nobody cares. Schumer cares. And there's a lot of other people who care. If nobody cares, then why does somebody ask the question? Because that person must have cared, and they must have thought that it cared and mattered. Now you're telling us that nobody cares. Nobody cares about, this is the same thing Bernie said when Donald Trump was asking about emails, about Hillary Clinton's emails. Nobody cares about her emails, 30,000 emails. Nobody cares. Yeah, we've got a nation that's falling apart. And he goes into this whole thing. He starts in this whole spouting thing about how the nation's falling apart. And then he goes on further to say something more. Let's listen to what more he says here.
Trump and the vice president saying it.
Right.
Pardon?
Well, of course, they're saying it to deflect attention away from the real issue.
Exactly.
And here, let me tell you what the real issue is. Let's see if CNN talks about it. We're living in the richest country in the history of the world, right?
Is that right, Bernie? Are we living in the richest history of the country of the world? My first thing that came out of my mouth when I heard that, I literally said it out loud. He said, we're living in the richest country in the history of the world. Why are we the richest country in the history of the world, Bernie? Why? The reason is because we are not a socialist nation. That's why. Because we have a country that was founded on free market principles, individual rights. That's why we are the richest nation in the history of the world. Now, he goes on to say, well, then why can't we provide health care for everybody? There are other nations that have the same kind of resources, the same per capita resources, the same very, very similar culture. They are not the richest nation in the world because they have become socialized. They have become, I would say, communized. That's why, Bernie. That's why. Don't think for a minute that we can go along with all this stuff and be just the same. So this is where we're at. And he goes on with this whole thing, talks about healthcare. Let's continue.
All right, you tell me why we're the only nation not to guarantee healthcare to all people. The only nation not to guarantee paid family and medical leave. Why we have a $7.25 an hour minimum wage. Why we have 800,000 people sleeping out on the street. why we have a president who denies the reality of climate change, why we have oligarchs on top who have more and more power every day. Let's talk about that issue, not her own.
Let's talk about all that, not talk about the fact that she's gonna primary Schumer out, which is why the government is shut down right now. They're putting pressure on Schumer. But they're gonna primary him one way or another. It's either gonna be him or it's gonna be her or somebody else that runs for his position. See, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is not in the Senate right now. She's in the Congress. She's in the House. The House has already passed this bill. It is in the Senate right now, and they need 60%. They need 60 votes to pass it because of the filibuster rule. You have to have 60 people to pass anything that's budget related in the Senate. Now, the Democrats are now saying, well, the Democrats control everything. The Democrats have the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They don't have to shut the government down. They're shutting. This is them. It's the same CR that they had, back in March. They're passing again with a few small changes, and it's basically a clean bill. It's the same thing. It's just a continuing resolution to keep on spending at the current levels and keep everything in there. They're fighting back, saying it's not. They see an opportunity. There's some people on the left that see an opportunity here to make a difference in terms of getting Schumer, pressuring Schumer to do some things. That's what they're doing here. They're turning this around, and in the process of all this, they're trying to get the Republicans to vote the filibuster out. They don't want to be the bad guys in getting rid of the filibuster. That's what it amounts to. This is a trap. This is an attempt to get the Republicans to get the filibuster abolished. Now, if they do that, they will be able to steamroll everything they want to in there, but just by simple majority. They can get up whatever spending bills they want. It would be devastating in the short term for the Democrats. However, if they can get it done, they will turn. I guarantee you, this is like the scorpion that rides on the back of the turtle across the river. They're going to sting you. They got this idea that, oh yeah, all you do is get rid of the filibuster and you can do this. And there's people like Marjorie Taylor Greene are actually thinking about this. Is considered the nuclear option. And this is Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG as she's called, has even mentioned this as a possibility. They're actually thinking about this. They're tossing this idea around to getting rid of the filibuster. The problem with this is the Democrats will then turn around and use this. Oh, this is a long-standing tradition. Look at that. Now they're authoritarian. Now they're just going to go down the rap. They're baiting them in. They're not saying anything about it right now. They're trying to encourage them to do it. If they take the bait and do that, I guarantee you they will run their heads in the ground. That will be the talking point for the next. That will be the next news cycle big issue. That'll be on the list of all their authoritarian accusations against this president, against this Congress, against the Republicans. That's the way it's going to be. It's good for the next month or two, or however long the voting cycle has to take, that will be added to the list of all the things that they're going to say. The president's a convicted felon. They've got this. They got to do this. All the things that go down the list of all the time. That's what's going to happen here. And that's where we are with this whole thing. That's why Bernie and AOC are out there right now talking to anybody. Why are they having this town hall thing? Why is Caitlin Collins even interviewing these two? Which is all about the autocracy and the authoritarian government that we have, and they're not talking about anything at all that's good that the Trump administration has done. That's not where they're at. It's because TDS is an incredibly sad situation. Now I want to talk about this other thing. That's just a part of what we're talking about here. I hope that Republicans don't fall into this trap with the filibuster thing. I want to talk about this thing with Nancy Pelosi, because it is also this reporter. I don't know what her name is. Lindell TV, I guess it is. It's Lindell TV. Reporter.
Are you all concerned that the new January 6th committee will find you liable for that day?
Now I want to paint this picture for you. Pelosi has her back to this lady, and she's like, there's like two people between her and Nancy Pelosi right now. She's trying to ask her these questions. She's talking into her own mic. Nancy Pelosi's walking away from her. She has her back to her. She's at least 5 feet away from her, and she increases that distance. It gets to the point where she's like 15 feet away from this reporter. This reporter continues to ask the question, and at some point, Nancy turns around and gets in her face, and this lady sticks the microphone in her face. You can tell by how well the sound quality is, as how close the microphone is. And all of a sudden, it is a very different, you know, Nancy's out there kind of stumbling. Now, keep in mind, Mitch McConnell, when he walks through the House, when he walks anywhere in Congress, he has somebody beside him, and he's constantly holding on to that person. They're helping him around. They have to help him through. And now he tries to walk by himself, and he reaches out to grab this guy, and he falls down. Mitch McConnell just fell down recently. Couldn't answer any questions, didn't have any comments to say. Basically, just he's stumbling around. He is well beyond his years. Should have this is a person who doesn't love the nation. This is a person who doesn't love the country. They love their power. They love themselves. And they think that they're so important that they can't step out of office because, you know, well, they're just too important to do that, even though they can't hardly even feed themselves. They think that they have to be in this position of power. Nancy Pelosi's in the same situation. She's got a bunch of guys around her. She has this one person that's who's there, obviously just simply there to be the person she's going to grab a hold of and get around so she can walk around without falling down. And that's what next to her at this point, they start walking away. So here she is.
Committee finding you liable for that day? Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Sorry, I'm not sure what just happened there. I had an issue with the, I was moving my iPad around, and for some reason it did some weird. I'm going to start over with this thing. Play this again.
Shut up.
Here she
goes. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't.
Let's listen to this again. She asked this question. I'm going to go back here a little bit. So she asked this question again.
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it.
You sure about that?
We have responsibility.
This is Nancy Pelosi on this documentary thing that her daughter was doing. She's being asked. She's stumbling around asking these questions. She's making it sound like there's this dramatic thing going on, and she has this responsibility. And it was her. She takes responsibility for it in this little bitty interview. I don't know how this ever got leaked out, because it was just, this is very damning on her part. And I don't know why, how in the world her daughter ever allowed this whole thing to happen, where this footage actually got out. Now, I should have all kinds of excuses about it, but she basically admitted that it was her responsibility for the National Guard having been called. So,
any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff that should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient
resources. There was not a question of how they had been. They don't know.
There's not a question about that.
They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepared for. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
The American people want to know. We still have questions. Thank you.
Now, this lady who's doing this, she turns around, she smiles at the camera like, I got her. she knows she got her. She knows he got her in this little snap thing. She got her to react. She's very reactive. Democrats are very reactive, very emotional. They this is the kind of thing that they do. And of course, she got her. She pushed her button to the point where she got her to turn around and ask her and snapped at her like that. She knew that at that time, the reporter knew she won. She won the issue. Nancy's reaction to this thing was very telling. So there's going to be a new January 6th commission looking into the January 6th commission that was established by the Democrats, completely by the Democrats. The two Republicans they had on there were not Republicans. Okay, they were Adam Kinzinger and what's her name? We're not people who were necessarily they were very, very I would say anti-Trump, very much administration people, very, very much a part of the machine. And they were not the people who that the speaker, the minority leader at the time didn't choose these people. So anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking with it. As we go into the weekend here, Shabbat Shalom. I hope you have a great weekend. I'll be back Monday morning early with a short show, as I will be on my way to Red Rocks, Colorado, to listen to Tom Hill. To listen to Chris Tomlin. God bless, folks. Have a great evening. See you.